This is JM and the AM on a Wednesday morning broadcast. I mentioned that Jordan Odinsky, who I know for quite a while, is visiting us this morning here at JM and the AM. And before we get started on what brought him here this morning, I could start by asking him when he made his most recent appearance on one of my shows, because it does go back a while, to say the least. Jordan Odinsky, a pleasure to welcome you back to JM and the AM.
Thank you so much, Nachum. It's great to be here. I believe that my most recent appearance was in either 2005, 2006.
In that area? Region,
with Yerach Mil Begun as a member of the Miami Boys Choir back in the Lower East Side.
What album had just come out in those days? Do you remember?
Like,
what
I believe it was Revach. Revach, you know,
had just come out.
It was just coming out. It was the fastest, I think, selling CD in Jewish music history. I think with like 20,000 or so copies in the first week.
Wow.
And it was a real golden era of Miami after, obviously, the Sunshine Days, B'Siyata D'Shmaya, Light of the Nights. And so this was really, I think, you know, the
Light of the Nights
era
had been out already.
Yeah, that was out years before. But this was like, I think, the resurgence of Miami and the Jewish music scene, and from there Yerach Mil just kept going with you know, that and Yerushalayim and Yavo.
And where were you living at that time?
That time I was living in West Hempstead.
And how far was Sunday night rehearsals from where you lived?
That's a great question. Sunday night rehearsals were it was definitely a trek. So shout out to my parents who are listening right now, and shout out to the rest of our carpool. But it was definitely...
Oh, were there other kids in the area?
Yeah, there were a bunch of kids from West Hempstead. That's actually who I joined the choir, another kid from West Hempstead.
Got it.
But we had a great core contingent.
And were you featured at all on Revach? Like, was there a solo or duet or anything of note that...
There was. I believe I'm in the song Shira and Kane, and a bunch of others on the other CDs.
Yeah. Unbelievable. Well, welcome. It's great to have you here. Jordan Odinsky. So why is Jordan here, especially since it's been a while since his last appearance on JM and the AM? And the answer is that our good friend Yami Schachter made me aware of an initiative that Jordan, I don't want to say founded, because in our tradition, this has been around for a while, but certainly you have taken it to a different level and really offered it to the community in a very different way. I think we could put it that way. The relationship, and again, a lot of listeners would not be familiar with this, so we'll try to explain it. There are many tribes of Israel, right? We read about the 12 tribes, etc. And the relationship between Yisachar and Zvulun, the leader of their two tribes, the children of Jacob, who we'll read about this Shabbos, the relationship was a unique one. Zvulun was known as a merchant and was the father of many merchants, it would seem. And that was the legacy of that tribe. Dealt in a lot of business, maybe venture capital acquisitions, who knows,
perhaps,
right? It seems like they were the kings of the financial world when
yes.
it came to that. And then, of course, Yisachar, a brother to Zvulun, was one who's painted as somebody who sat and studied Torah on a regular basis, constantly, and that they were obviously, or he was, I should say, the father of what we assume would be rabbis, rabbeim, teachers, etc., in our community. And in order for all that Torah study to be facilitated, Zvulun took it upon themselves to fund those from Yisachar who were spending their day studying Torah. Would that be a good historical way of putting it?
Exactly. And the second half of that is that not only did Zvulun fund his brother Yisachar, who was sitting and learning, but in return, his brother Yisachar shared the eternal reward, the schar, the merit, with his brother Zvulun, which is what makes for such an interesting, symbiotic, and mutual beneficial relationship.
You're making what might be the most important point correct. The reward that is guaranteed one who's immersed in Torah was then shared. That reward for Yisachar was then shared with Zvulun, because they had made this tremendous investment in the in this whole procedure, in this entire operation, or I should say, this entire arrangement. So Jordan Odinsky is now here in 2025.
Yes,
and at some point you said, and you're involved in the world of venture capital, right? We should mention that.
Yes.
You know something about investing, you know something about raising money, right? Both very important in a Yisachar-Zvulun relationship, right?
Yes, absolutely. So I like to say sometimes I have, you know, two full-time jobs. I wear two different hats. But the other hat that I wear is I'm a partner at a venture capital firm called Ground Up Ventures. We invest in early stage startups. So for people that don't know exactly, you know, the different stages of companies, these are just ideas. Sometimes they have a product products. Sometimes they have revenue, sometimes not. We like to be the first check into these companies. So think of Shark Tank, but where Shark Tank sometimes will do...
Pre-revenue Shark Tank,
but where Shark Tank will sometimes do, I don't know, cupcake or skateboard business or things like that. We stick with software and now hardware. So think everything from different technologies to support different things in real estate to financial services to now we're doing things in energy and defense technology and robotics. So that's what we do at Ground Ventures, and we invest in both United States startups and both companies in Israel. So our team is split between New York and Tel Aviv.
So it has to be a startup that has something to do with I assume we call it computers, right? Or computer programming.
Exactly. There's got to be some sort of software element
software,
to the
that's the word I'm looking for, right? Yes. So would we have heard of anything that you've supported since its beginning or not yet?
Typically not. The companies that we invest in, because they're really at the ground floor, on average, they'll take, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years in order to become really big. Sometimes even longer than that. And so we are at the earlier days of our firm. We've made a number of bets that have, thank God, done quite well. But unless you're in the space, you wouldn't necessarily know about it.
And how many people are like you? Meaning, how many people are there that need to make this decision about whether to go forward with a specific startup or not?
So we're three partners on the team.
And two out of three, or you need a unanimous vote?
So it's a great question. The way that our firm works is you actually need a unanimous vote. Wow. However, a lot of times when you're seeing deals, you're trying to look for what's non-consensus. What are you seeing that someone else might not be seeing? Right. And so we try to set ourselves up both not to have to be aligned, to make sure that we're making the wisest choices around our investments, but we also want to give ourselves the opportunity to be potentially seeing things that other people aren't seeing. So we actually have something called a silver bullet, where each partner is able to make one deal, is able to do one deal that the other partners don't necessarily see eye to eye on.
Wow.
And that's also proven to be a definitely an interesting strategy. So that's typically how it works at our firm.
Jordan Odinsky's here. We'll talk about the actual project in a minute. I'm curious, and this is a question you don't have to answer, but would I be surprised by how large an initial investment would be made in a startup that has made no progress yet?
Yes.
Could someone walk out with a $1 million check? Is that possible?
Absolutely. We in this industry have become desensitized to the numbers of $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, $10 million.
I got to incorporate that in my life. Become completely desensitized to it.
Absolutely. But typically, a lot of times what we're looking for is entrepreneurs who have done this before, entrepreneurs who have created value,
track record.
Who have created, they've created enterprise value in their lives. They've done something really interesting, really compelling. They've made a lot of money for themselves and for their investors, or they have a really unique point of view. And so I like to think about us both as investment managers, and we're also talent scouts. We're looking for people who we think have something, who think we have what it takes, and we're looking to bet on them. And sometimes we'll be right. Many times you'll be wrong, but the times that you're right, hopefully you're really, really, really right.
And the role that you have, in addition to what you just described, I have to assume includes fundraising as well. You want people out there,
absolutely,
with the three of you taking this plunge, right?
Absolutely. So the way that we work is it's typical fund strategy, and so we go out, we raise money from limited partners, basically ultra high net worth individuals, institutions, pension funds, endowments, etc.
Who know they could lose $500,000, right? I mean, they know this.
Yeah, this is all part of their risk profile.
But why say that, Nahum? They could also invest and do very, very well down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The industry stats for venture capital, which, by the way, I think that they say that for a person, you shouldn't put more than, I think it was like 2 or 3% of your private net worth into such a risky investment. But obviously for institutions that are invested across the spectrum, across publics and privates, the risk profile is very different from them at that scale. So the average industry stats is if you invest in 10 companies, let's say 4 will fail, you'll completely lose your money on.
Right.
3, you'll just make back your money on, like you'll be
middle
even
of the
on.
Road type stuff.
And then maybe 2 or 3, you'll make so much money that it'll make up the money for the rest. And so that's why it's really important to invest in a fund, not do deal by deal, as a lot of angels try to do. Really have a diversified portfolio to give yourself a better chance of making that big return.
Does Israel have as great a reputation in this space that the average guy like me thinks it does?
Yes.
Simple as that.
Yeah.
They just have great companies, a lot of wonderful ideas,
great
good
companies,
people behind
great
the
talent,
ideas,
great people,
right, a lot of talent. Right.
I would say also what's interesting is that you know, we have the benefit of both being involved here in the New York ecosystem and globe and here in the U.S., right. but specifically the New York tech ecosystem, as well as the ecosystem in Tel Aviv. And a lot of times it gives us the benefit of stacking companies up one against the other. So many times we'll actually see a number of companies here in New York that are, or in the U.S. that are trying to build something, and we'll go find the counterpart in Israel, and we'll see the difference in the type of founder. The type of founder there is typically coming out of the army. They're typically right. coming out of some sort of cyber unit, or they're doing something else really interesting in the army that sometimes they can talk about, sometimes they can't talk about. They've already built something major in their lives. And so there's a different starting point. There's a different playing field that Israelis are playing on versus the rest of the world. And we see that play out. Obviously, we're trying to back outliers. And so there's outliers everywhere. And so it's not, I would say it's not a rule, but definitely we see Israel as a major powerhouse, which is why we're there.
And venture capitalists or venture capital companies in Israel are your competitors or your colleagues?
They're both. It's a great question.
Because I would think the startup guy in Israel might be inclined to go to the startup venture capitalist in Tel Aviv before they turn to New York.
Well, it's a great question. Well, the benefit that we have is that we are also in Tel Aviv. We right. have an office in Sirona in Tel Aviv. Right. Where my partner David Stark leads all of our efforts there. But the other part of it is that happens to be that most Israelis, yes, they might look for their first check maybe from an Israeli firm, but then they're looking to come to the U.S.
Right. And they'll travel here to make that pitch.
They'll come here, they'll make that pitch, right. and they're always looking to bring on U.S. investors. And I think that a big reason is just the scope of investors here in the U.S. is far greater than the scope of investors in Israel, specifically when you think about the dollars that a firm could deploy. The firms here have many billions under management, whereas it's just the ecosystem is smaller there. And so the amount of firms that could actually, the growth firms in Israel, the scene is much smaller than it is here. And a lot of times the U.S. firms are the ones that have the network that when you're out to raise your next round of financing, we could help, or U.S. funds could help a lot more connecting to other U.S. funds than funds locally, whether that be in Israel or somewhere in Europe or somewhere in Asia.
And the majority of those in your industry in the United States who've invested in Israeli companies have never been to Israel, I assume. Is that correct?
That is a great question. I don't know that that's true.
Really?
I don't know that that's not true.
Interesting.
I don't know.
Because
it's a great question.
Because if there is a regular non-affiliated with Israel venture capital company in the United States, they would be interested in what's going on in Israel, just from the reputation and the track record, right?
Yeah. Listen, there's definitely a lot of investors that are interested in Israel. Some will follow other investors and say, hey,
if,
you know, a good investor
on
the ground there.
Right.
Exactly. I think it varies. I think most investors that I've spoken to have been to Israel at least once.
Interesting.
I was shocked by the number of people, you know, just historically that have told me that they've been on Birthright, that I was shocked right. that they were Jewish.
But a lot of them have gone to Tel Aviv just to have that meeting.
They've been there. They may have been there a number of years ago. Right. But many people have gone. And I would say specifically since October 7th, more people want to go. More people want to be there. And they're trying to figure out when, how. Obviously, the flight situation is challenging.
Right.
But the appetite for going to Israel...
Well, your tech sector is going to solve that problem, won't it?
We'll see. But the appetite for going to Israel for tech investors is there, and it's great.
I think people who are not in the airline industry who try to get into it are in for a rude awakening, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Jordan Odinsky is here now for the real reason you're in our studio this morning, although this story frankly, is fascinating. There is a website that everyone could follow along and look at. It's called Smach Zvulun, which are words from the Torah, by the way. SmachZvulun.com, SmachZvulun.com. When one goes to that website, what will they find?
So they will find a very unique tzedakah that typically I would say doesn't really fit in with the status quo. What we're trying to achieve, and maybe I'll take a step back and, sure. and tell you how it started.
Please.
I used to live in Ramat Eshkol after my wife and I got married. Wow. A year after we lived in Queens. We moved to Ramat Eshkol. We were there for 5 years. And while we were there, I was also, we're talking about outliers. I was an outlier. I was one of the few who was not in a chabura or not in the mir. I was doing venture capital there and happened to live in Ramat Eshkol, which was a great, it was a great fit for me personally, you know, given my personality. And I befriended one of my neighbors, who was a phenomenal person. His name is Rabbi Yechiel Greenblatt, who comes from an unbelievable lineage. His grandfather, Rav Nutza Greenblatt of
sure,
Memphis,
of course.
And his parents were David and Mrs. Debbie Greenblatt. You know, great, phenomenal speakers. And Yechiel had a very interesting background. He was a former Oshkola for many years, and he founded the Main Tzedakah organization of Ramat Oshkol. And two things kind of happened simultaneously, which was we were walking home one day, Shabbos, Mincha, and he was telling me about all these incredible Talmid Chachamim that lived in my building, that lived in surrounding buildings, people I see. I never conversed with them, or most of them I haven't conversed with, A, because my Hebrew, and B, because I was just living in a different universe than they were, even though we were in the same physical universe. Right. And he was telling me how many of them were phenomenal Talmid Chachamim.
Serious Torah scholars.
This is what they were born to do. But they didn't have any funds. They didn't have money to pay the bills, to keep the AC on in the summer, the heat on in the winter, to put food on the table, clothing for their kids. And it was shocking because I see these people in my building, in the supermarket, in the shul, and they have such smiles on their faces. Their kids look unbelievably happy. You would never know that they were struggling so deeply in life. It's because they live in an alternate universe. And I'm young now. I was younger then. I was like, I've got friends. We're all young. We're all starting our families. But the average family in America, you know, there's got to be a way. They have Meiser. There's got to be a way to pair these people up. And at the same time, or around the same time, I have a very close friend, also a venture capitalist who's in the Midwest. His name is Jonathan Trias. I could say his name because he gave me permission. And Jonathan Trias told me a phenomenal story in the 10 days surrounding this conversation with Yechiel. And the story goes as follows. He lives in the Midwest, and his rabbi in the Midwest was trying to convince him to do one of these partnerships, a Sachar Zvulun partnership. Now,
just to support a family of Torah.
Now, the important part is it was locally. And the way that Yisachar Zvulun works is that you have to give, there's obviously many different opinions, but the way that most opinions follow is that you have to be supporting this family, this Talmud Chacham, this Torah scholar, with a level of financing that is related to the cost of living. And so if you're going to support someone in America, depending on where they live, especially right. in the tri-state area, right. it's $60,000, $70,000, right. $80,000, $90,000, right. which most people cannot afford. Right. And obviously it's a little bit different out there in the Midwest. Right. And his rabbi was trying to convince him to do it. Him and his wife were going back and forth. Should we do it? Should we not do it? And they decided that there's one thing to do with their Meiser money. If there's one thing to do with tzedakah, they wanted to show their kids that this is the most important thing to do. It's to support another family, a needy family, but a family of Torah, a family of the values. And so they decided to do it. They went full on in, and they went to sign the shtar. He went to shul.
An actual contract.
An actual shtar. Exactly. An actual contract. And he went to shul, and he signs the shtar. And after he signs the shtar, he's walking back to his car with his rabbi, and his rabbi turns to him and says, Jonathan, you have no idea how much bracha you're going to see from this. And obviously he shakes it off. He's like, okay, obviously you're going to tell me that I just put down right. a lot of money. And he was like, yeah, but that's also, like, I want to keep it real, the purpose that I did it for my kids. And he brushes off. Okay, obviously, thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity, and it was great. And he tells me 12 hours later, he gets an email from one of his first investments that they are being purchased by PayPal for $4 billion. And he was in disbelief. And he calls me and he shares a story because, you know, there's a universe in the U.S. of from VCs, but it's very, very, very small. So he knew I would appreciate the story. And I was just like, wow, that's amazing. So I run home to my wife and I say, wow, this is an unbelievable thing. We got to figure out how to do this. And especially in Israel where salaries are a lot lower. It's like, how do we figure out how to do this? So what do? I approach my friend Yechiel and we start talking about Yisachar Zvulun. We talk about how there's this challenge where most people can't access it, both because it's cost prohibitive.
Right.
But the other side is that, thank God, there's an organization for most things in Klal Yisrael, but there is really nowhere to turn to for this. If you want to do one of these partnerships, who do you turn to?
Right.
I had a great neighbor who was in the know, but who do you turn to? And so we went across Eretz Yisrael. We went to speak to many gedolim. We went to Rav Victor Nevenson in the Old City. We spoke in the beginning with Rav Asher Weiss. We spoke with Rav Shimon Galai in Bnei Brak. We spoke with Rav Shaya Steinman and many, many others. And Yechiel really spent a lot of time delving into the sugya of Yisachar Zvulun. And we ultimately designed a organization where we're going to pair people in the United States with Talmid Chachamim and their families in Eretz Yisrael because we could achieve the authenticity that Yaakov Avinu had in mind, pairing his two sons together,
right.
and we could do it at a price that is affordable and accessible to a much larger audience than previously before. So that is what people will find when they go to smachzvulun.com. They'll find that unique opportunity where a lot of times we give tzedakah and it's a black box. We have right. no idea where it goes. Here, not only do you get to pick the family? Do you get to choose? And we talk a little bit about how that works, but do you get to pick the family where it goes to? But you get to build a relationship with them, and it takes on a completely different dynamic in your life, in your family's lives, in your kids' lives, when you visit Israel, when you meet them, when you get to speak to them. And that's what we're doing at Tzachzulim.
Unbelievable. So how long has this been in existence?
So we started just over 2 years ago.
Can I ask how many partnerships there are?
Absolutely. We just got word this morning of our 143rd partnership, thank God.
What?
And
there are 143 families in Israel benefiting from this?
143, and that totals about $2.4 million a year to Talmidei Chachamim. We've grown, candidly, when we started this, I thought that if we reached 20, 30 partnerships, yeah. I was like over the moon. And we have grown faster than we've ever imagined. We now have a team in Eretz Yisrael. We have a office in Givat HaMiftar, which is right adjacent to Ramat HaShkol. We have a bookkeeper, accountant, compliance. Compliance is a whole other thing that we are very strict on, both because it's the right thing to do, but because the Israeli tax authorities demand it. And we also recently brought on a relationship manager. Now, a lot of times when you're partnering with someone where there's a language barrier, it's a little bit awkward. And so this person is there to make a smooth introduction when you come to Israel, take you out for dinner with your sacher, you go meet them, you go to their house, he'll set up Zoom calls, he'll bring a computer over, he'll set up phone calls, he'll set up where the Zvulun sends letters, where the sacher sends letters to the Zvulun, where the wives communicate with one another. So he's there in the spaces where there's a language barrier to create that bridge between the two partners.
Now, when one has this desire to sign up, they end up signing this contract and then being committed to what, a certain amount per month, or is this like a general fund that, you know, will dispense the money appropriately, but someone on this end, you know, has a certain pace they can maintain in terms of paying it out?
Right, it's a great question. So when someone signs a shtar, what they're typically signing up for is they're signing up to do a specific amount a month for the duration of a year. Each shtar goes in increments of 1 year. And the reason why that is to give the Talmid Chacham the peace of mind that they will be, that they do, that they have the financial burden lifted off their shoulders for the next year. And so that's really important.
So it could be $4,000 or $5,000 a month, frankly.
It could be. So to make it as accessible as possible, we went to Gedolei Yisrael and we said, what is the minimum amount?
Right.
And the minimum amount that they gave us, according to the cost of living, and what a typical family earns and lives on.
Right. Because some of these are Kollel families. So they may be getting a check from somewhere else.
Absolutely. Yes, they're getting a check. Right. They're typically getting a check from somewhere else. So the way that the finances kind of work is that we both partner. We're not affiliated with any Kollel. We're not affiliated with any institution. What Yechiel does so phenomenally well, and this is a superpower, is he finds the hidden gems that are sitting in Batei Midrash all over Eretz Yisrael. Right.
The ones who always say we'd like to support the ones who are studying 20 hours a day.
These are the people who you want to invest in. And he will find, so we have Avreichim, we have Rosh Kollel, we have Dayanim, we have Poskim, and across the spectrum and across different cities and across different types of family sizes. And so typically someone will start, Gedolei Yisrael told us that the most that the minimum amount for an authentic Yisachar Zvulun partnership, again, this has to help with their cost of living, is $1,500 a month. Now, so we want to make it where you could join us at $1,500 a month, and we have people doing all the way up to $4,000 a month. We have, I would say, the most typical amount is $2,000 a month, but anywhere on that spectrum where you want to be, that is where we would love to have you.
Now, what if someone decides to do this today? Is this something that could be implemented immediately, or the process that you describe takes time?
Absolutely. First of all, if anyone wants to reach out, they go to the website, they could find the contact us button, they could find the WhatsApp button.
Right.
Someone once said that he thought that the greatest part of Smach Zvulun was our response time. We really do aim to respond to every single message in 5 minutes or less. And
that's pretty impressive.
And literally at all hours, we work around the clock between the time zones of US and Israel. And if someone did want to sign up, typically the way that it works is that is we have a database of Talmid Chacham that we've already vetted. What it means that we vetted them is that Yechiel has done an initial 30-minute phone interview, 30 to 45-minute phone interview, and then if he thinks that there's value in bringing this person, exactly, then he will bring them in for about a two-hour intake meeting where he talks with them and learning. He understands more about their family. Sometimes their wives join. They bring their bank statements. We have to understand their financial right. aspect as well. And only after that, the main litmus test is if we had the funds ourselves, would we partner with this individual? Is it good enough for us? And if the answer to that is a resounding yes, then we are comfortable.
Sort of works the same way your company works.
Absolutely.
If the three Absolutely. Guys feel it's a good idea, you're going forward
Absolutely.
With it.
Absolutely. We put our money where our mouth is. Exactly. And so that's typically the way that it works.
So someone could get started today.
Someone could get started today. We have a robust network of Talmid Chacham that we've already vetted. We have about, I believe there's 37 right now. But it depends. There's a little bit of nuance there because it depends what you're looking for. If you as a Zvulun, as a supporter, as a donor, as a partner are looking for someone that you could learn with, someone that speaks English, someone, if you're looking to support someone that lives up north, someone in Bnei Brak, someone in Yerushalayim, someone down south. People come with a lot of different things of what they're looking for. Some people want to learn, Choshen Mishpat with their Yisachar. Some people really want to be hands off and say, no, I just want to know right. that the money's going to a good place.
Right.
So depending on what you're looking for, most cases, we could have you set up and live within 24, 48 hours.
The website again is smachzvolun.com, smachzevulun.com, and take a look at it. The rabbinic approbations are there. The history is there. All the system of how it works is there. Obviously, again, the haskamas, everything you're looking for in a contact button, as well as you mentioned, is all there. And anybody who wants to participate can. Now, one of the reasons, and you just told us a story as you opened up the conversation about this organization. You just told us a story where the person from the Midwest admitted to you this was a life-changing experience. For him,
yes.
it happened within hours, but
yes.
it was a life-changing experience. Can you attest, or can others who have joined smachzvulun.com attest to the fact that it's been a life-altering experience?
Yes. I will start by saying that we have an overwhelming number of stories from our Zvulins that could fill an entire book today of jaw-dropping stories of Hashkacha. But I do want to preface that with as I started this, I want to be very real with everybody who's listening,
right.
which is when I first started this and when I first came home to my wife after hearing that story, I was very excited for all of the wrong reasons. It was very low lishma for me. I thought that this was going to be an amazing, like, miracle drug. This is phenomenal.
You'll become a billionaire
exactly.
because of this.
Exactly. And what I can say is, while personally, thank God, everything has gone very well, and we've seen tremendous hashgacha in our own lives, I want people to be very real. Hashem will find a channel if he wants to give you the bracha and the shefa in your life. He will find a channel no matter what. Is this a great channel? Does the Torah say that giving tzedakah and especially supporting poor Talmid Chacham and Eretz Yisrael, you get the trifecta there, that is an unbelievable vessel to become a shaliach for Hashem? Absolutely. But I want people to be very real and to have the right intentions for going into this. But yes, we have unbelievable stories as the one that was mentioned in Mishpacha magazine. We have an amazing story of there's a person who came up to me once and he said he really wanted to do a partnership, but he wasn't sure that he could afford it. So I said, listen, and I think what's very interesting here is we're not selling anything. This is a complimentary service for Klal Yisrael. That's what it is. We have a number of supporters, a number of our Zvulins support us, and a number of donors support us. There's no transaction fees. There's no fees. Every single dollar that you donate will go straight to the Talmid Chacham, except for if you do credit card. The credit card processor takes a small fee,
right.
and the bank in Israel takes like a $10 fee for the wire transfer. Aside from that, every single cent goes to them. Nothing comes to us. This is a complimentary service. This is as lishma as it could be. And so he told me that he couldn't afford. He told me that he wasn't sure that he could afford it. And it's because we're not selling anything. I said, you know, the opportunity is here for you. Whenever you want to take it, I'm here for you. Came back to me about 2 weeks later, and he said that he discussed with his wife, and they wanted to stretch. They wanted to strive to do it. I said, wonderful, no problem. He wanted to partner with someone specifically who spoke English. Found an unbelievable Rosh Kollel in Bnei Brak, who's formerly from Skokie, Illinois, and. And they partnered. They had many conversations since. They visited each other in person since. That's wonderful. About 2 months after he partnered, he came up to me and he's like, I have a crazy story for you that's going to be in your storybook one day. So what's that story? he is an attorney, and I think it was in the middle of May or something like that, not in the middle of bonus season or anything like that, and he gets a random Tuesday, and he gets an email from HR with an unexpected raise, an unexpected bonus. We've recognized your hard work, and now he tells me, we're at a very big law firm. They don't recognize anybody's hard work. That's not a thing. That's not the way that it works.
Everybody's working 20 hours a day.
Yeah, unless it's December. Like, this isn't a thing. And he calls his wife to share the good news. And his wife, I believe, is the more mathematical numbers one of the two. And she turns to him and she says, wow, when you take off what the take home is going to be, this is the exact dollar amount of what we didn't know we could afford just weeks ago. And the stories we've heard... unbelievable stories like that. We've heard stories of people seeing a change in not only their business, but in their children's lives. Their children succeeding, their children doing better, and they can't explain it. Their children struggling previously, and now they're doing better. We've heard stories of there's someone who partnered, unbelievable person, and we're all across the U.S. This is Zvulun from Waterbury, Connecticut, who was in a very challenging situation with a real estate deal. He bought a property that had a tenant for at least for 10 years, some animal hospital or something like that. And they ended up going bankrupt. And he was in year one. And he's like, what am I supposed to do? My whole analysis for this deal was based off of this tenant. Right. And he then wanted the schus. So he partnered with somebody in Eretz Yisrael as an extra schus to figure this out. Weeks later, he gets an email from the owner of that animal hospital, says, if you let us out of our contract, I'll pay you, I think it was 7 or 8 years upfront of the rent. So he made back all of his money right then and there. And then the kicker is, later that week, Burger King called him saying they wanted to buy the property for more than it was worth because it was next door to McDonald's. And so because of the schus he shared, he's like, and I kid you not, he said, I have to sign up for another. And so this individual now has been with us for quite some time. He actually just last week signed up for his third partnership with us. And
supporting multiple families.
Supporting multiple families. And this is someone who has seen the value in his business. And so we have stories across the spectrum. People who have signed up as single and they did it as a schus to find their basher, to get married, and have since gotten married. We have people literally across the spectrum who have told us phenomenal stories. But again, to preface it with that, I think that the main takeaway is whether it's Smach Zvulun or whether it's something else, if you open yourself up to Hashem, if you go outside of your comfort zone for Hashem, he will respond in the most unexpected ways. And that is the message that I want to leave people, rather than that this Hashem will reward you if you go out of your way for him.
I could talk about this for hours. But I do recommend, instead of listening to us, you go to the website, everybody, and decide what you and your family can do. Smachzvulun.com, SmachZevulun.com. And you'll see details about everything that we've discussed. Are there even some stories on the website?
There are no stories yet on the website. We are working on a new website. And if you look at our website, it is, I'll just be candid, it is not the most compelling design, and that's because
I like it.
We're on a very tight budget, which is because
I like it. It looks 2025 to me.
It looks 2025, fantastic. But we have a new and improved one coming out very, very shortly. What I will also tell people is that there are many people who are not of the ability to do this type of partnership just yet in their lives. They're not able to take on this commitment, and they still want to get involved.
Right.
For those types of individuals, we've actually started something new. We've launched something new, which is where, because we don't take any funds for the partnership, actually supporting the organization with our growing costs and with our exponential growth has become a bracha in disguise. Right. It's become a bracha in disguise.
You have staff now that has to be
supported. We have staff, we have payroll, absolutely. And all these people do a phenomenal job at ensuring that Talmid Chachamim get their funds, their stipends on time at the beginning of the month, exactly when they're supposed to. They make sure that the compliance is there. They make sure that the transfer is there. They make sure that everyone has receipts. They make sure that the relationship is built exactly the way the Zvulun wants it to be. They make sure that the impact is there. And we're doing really, I think, I know I'm biased, but I believe that we're doing God's work. And what I will say is, for those individuals, we invite them to partner with us, partner with the organization. You know, I think that something that's really unique here is that if you partner with the organization, you could have a piece of every single thing that we do. We talked about making fund investments, the difference between deal by deal and fund investments. Make a fund investment in Smakksfulen, join us and have the schluss in every single partnership that we do. And I guarantee you that every single dollar is treated as kadosh, it's treated as holy, and it's used in the most appropriate, respectful, and the most important way
possible. So this is one of the best investments you've ever made.
Thank God, yes, this is definitely...
And you've made some significant investments.
We've made some significant investments, tens of millions of dollars, many, many tens of millions of dollars, and please God, we will continue to see the dividends, both in this world and the next.
Shout-outs. Shout-out to Yummy Schachter. He made me aware of all this.
Absolutely.
Told me a great story via text related to your work, and he's obviously a very big fan.
Yes.
And always good to have him on your side. He's very creative and a wonderful friend.
Absolutely.
Shout-out to Ari Schachter.
Absolutely. Right? The legend,
who somehow snuck into this building as we were conversing.
Yes.
And a shout-out to your parents.
Absolutely.
Who I know for decades, and they must be very proud of what you're doing, to say the least.
I hope so. I hope I'm living
you
up to
that. You thought they'd be proud when you were singing with Miami Boys. What about now, huh?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm surprised my mom hasn't tried to call in. I don't know if that's a thing, but I'm surprised she hasn't tried.
Well, she's always welcome to be in touch with us. Jordan Odinsky, big yeshe koach to you. Continued success. And anybody out there who wants to join this unique investment and really support serious Torah scholars, as vetted by the grandson of Rav Nutta Grunblatt.
Absolutely.
Go to smachzvulun.com, SmachZevulun.com, and this should bring bracha to everybody, including those who publicize this great cause.
Amen.
It should bring great success all to all of us and obviously get us a lot of points up there where it counts. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you for having me.
A real pleasure to see you and to speak to you about this.
Likewise.
More coming up. You're listening to a Wednesday morning edition of JM in the AM.